Welcome to break number 34. We're now going to take off on a short series, which easily could be long sermons, which could be a series of long sermons, but we're just going to keep it to various verses here and there, and we're going to talk about something that may not necessarily be encouraging unless you understand the direction these breaks are meant to be. If it helps us get a better understanding of a certain subject, then that should be worth taking the break for. If we get something said to us that might kind of tweak us a little bit, that's still worth taking a break for. Or like we said in the break number 33, maybe the pride has gotten involved and you don't like to hear these things or whatever. But we're going to look at flesh. We're going to look at the word flesh. And have you noticed that when you ever use the word flesh in conversation with people, when they ask you, why don't you do something or why, whatever, you know, and you mention the word, well, you know, no flesh shall be justified. What do they mean flesh? They don't know what you're talking about when you say flesh. Are you talking about your skin? You know, they don't get it. But if you're one of those that understands what we're talking about when it says flesh, then I think you'll understand and you'll appreciate these next breaks. I suppose maybe some of you think you've really got your flesh under control and all these issues that are in your life are not your fault. You're just this marvelous Christian that seems to do everything correctly and you say the right thing and you do the right thing. Well, you know, good for you. I don't suppose you are, but it's none of my business. I'm not there in your life. But I think the scriptures, as we go through these various verses, will be good for all of us to hear. And like I say, these will just be short little breaks on our flesh. You know, it says in Job that man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job chapter 5, verse 7. And I find myself quite often thinking that seems to be my case. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Every time I have a campfire or a little fire out in the backyard, I see those sparks flying upward. And I think, boy, that just seems to be how I've had it as a pastor. The sermons I preach, because I thought, this is a Bible sermon. This tells the scriptures. This says what the scriptures say. I'm just repeating what the scriptures say. They could read these verses themselves, and yet they would get upset. I realize there's pride involved, because who am I to preach this to these people or to that person? So I see why pride would get what it did, as we talked about it in break 33. But you know, Galatians 1:10 challenges us when it says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And I always have to ask myself, especially lately, am I pleasing God? Am I trying to please myself? Am I trying to please other men? Is my trouble a pride issue? And when I say please myself, I mean please my own flesh. And I've learned, since I read this verse in Thessalonians, which we'll get to eventually here, that I now know how to please God. I had thought for years as a Baptist, I had thought for years as a Christian, that of course, since I put my faith and trust in Christ, He's given me all my thoughts and all my feelings are correct, and I'm doing things to please Him. I'm contending for the faith, which is in Jude. So I'm going out on the streets and I'm saying things, I'm getting in people's faces and all this kind of stuff, and oh, this pleases God. And then I remember reading one time in 1 Thessalonians that in order to please God, you've got to learn to follow the scriptures according to Paul. And then I found out that chances are most of what I was doing to please my flesh. What is flesh? Well, we're going to look into this flesh thing. Was I ever pleasing God? Have I ever pleased God? Well, you read through Paul's books and you can find out. When you think that you're doing something pretty good and you're just becoming that good Christian, I can guarantee you, if you stay in Paul's books and you read Paul, Romans to Philemon, you read those books, you will be reminded, whoa, you are just not that great of a Christian. We're living in the dispensation of grace. There's always been grace in the world from God. There's always been grace. So He would have shut this thing down back at the garden. But the dispensation of grace, I believe that the dispensation of grace has to be so big that it's a dispensation, because we're just not capable, we're not willing, we're not wanting to suffer persecution, which Paul says we're going to do if we serve God, if we live godly, if we want to live a life to please God today, it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some flesh battles. It's going to take fighting some people. But you don't need to fight the people from a prideful manner. You're just not ashamed of Paul. You're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. You're not ashamed of your King James Bible. To stand up for those things, you don't have to be a loudmouth. You know, being bold and confident, I've learned at the years in the ministry, does not mean loud. It does not mean in their face. Now we're starting to see pride enter into the picture. But let's get off of that. Just remember here, do we persuade men or God? Do we seek to please men? For yet if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And you have to have some wisdom here. You have to obey your boss. Paul teaches that in Timothy. So don't separate these issues about flesh and become that loud-mouthed, prideful Christian standing up for the truth. In the day when, if you really were that Christian, you would be reading Paul and you would be making some changes in your life, but there would be changes in your life, not in somebody else's life. And you would learn to obey, there's that word, to obey the scriptures, and look to see what Paul says about being a father, or a mother, or a husband, or a wife, or a teacher, or a student, or a worker, or a boss. And it isn't all quite what you think it would be. But, I think I've said the word a couple times already, let's just look at the word flesh. There are so many things in this study of the word flesh. What did I do? I took the word flesh. And you can do the same thing, folks. You don't need me to do this for you. And you can do your study in the flesh in one night if you'd like. Take the word flesh, look it up in a concordance, print out the words from Romans to Philemon, and see what Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, teaches about our flesh. What did he teach about the flesh during the Gospels? Doesn't matter. What does he teach about the flesh during the tribulation? Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude. Doesn't matter. What about the flesh in the Old Testament? Doesn't matter. What matters is what does the risen Savior teach to us through Paul in a King James Bible about the word flesh? Well, we'll start that in break 35.